Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
I have a guy by the name of Patrick Myers is going to join me here in just a couple of minutes. He's the lead singer for a Queen tribute act, like one of the best on the planet, called Killer Queen. And they're coming to, it's a new venue, I think, called The Sovereign, which is, you know, kind of connected with the old Rock House, which is a great venue downtown. So Patrick's going to jump on here in just a couple of minutes. We're supposed to have John O'Leary at the bottom of the hour. I saw his movie Soul on Fire last night. Really, really good. And it's based on his life story, which we've shared a fair amount of times here on my show over the years, whether it was here or on KMOX. John's story in St. Louis has become legendary. He was burned because he was playing with gasoline and matches in his mom and dad's, his family's garage. It exploded into a terrible fire, which burned him on the majority of his body, and somehow he survived when he wasn't expected to, went on to do amazing things, and is on the speakers tour, has a movie now, has written two bestsellers, but I will say this, he's on an airplane right now because he's in such high demand, and we're not exactly sure, although, because John is such a good dude, and he really is, he has hooked us up with one of the co-stars in the film who plays his roommate, and I guess this is a St. Louis kid named Spencer Davis Milford. So if John's not here, I think we got Spencer at the bottom of the hour. And quite honestly, and for those of you who may have caught the film already, because there were a fair amount of word of mouth, they call them word of mouth screenings around St. Louis for the past couple of months, since it was something that was filmed locally, produced locally. Terry Schnook was a big, big, important part of this, not only writing some checks, but getting the tax credits from the state of Missouri, which made it possible for Soul on Fire to be filmed here. And so if we don't get John, we'll get Spencer on, who plays Mike Bright, John O'Leary's best friend and roommate. He plays a key role. What I was going to say is if you've seen the movie, you will see that Spencer steals many scenes in the film. Let's see if Fred's got anything set up for Monday afternoon at this point. But we'll have to see. Yeah, we got Josh Hammer, and he'll react to, by that time on Monday, we'll know, I think, that some of these hostages are being released. There are 20 who are still alive. 48 is the number that we're told that will be released to the Israelis, but most of those are dead, unfortunately. But the Nobel Prize came out this morning. President Trump wasn't really expected to get it because they voted on this thing on Monday. You know, there's all this, some of the stuff that you're going to see online. Like I was paging through the X, formerly Twitter, at the top of the hour, and there was already sites out there saying Trump's all pissed off because he didn't win the Nobel Peace Prize. Look, I think Trump's pretty happy that he looks to have achieved something here that most people didn't think was possible. So let's see what happens with the release of the hostages. Again, I don't think the Nobel Committee was slighting him. Oh, don't get me wrong. They probably will slight him. But again, the Peace Prize was voted on earlier this week. And even saying that, let's say that you give him the Nobel Peace Prize and then Monday or Tuesday things fall apart in this, which is not altogether impossible. That doesn't look too good for the committee either. We also have an audio cut of the day coming up in just a little bit as well. But let's talk about Killer Queen here.
Me now. Don't stop.
This is one of the premier Queen tribute acts on the entire planet. And they're coming to a venue called The Sovereign, which is on Wash Avenue on Monday night. Patrick Myers is the lead singer. He's the founder of Killer Queen. And he joins us tonight on 97.1 FM Talk. Patrick, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, have you been here to St. Louis? Let's start with that. I'm guessing you guys may have been here before.
We've been here before, but this is the first time we played The Sovereign. So I think, is that a new venue there, I think?
It is a new venue. And actually, I was trying to do a little recon on it myself because I know the music venues here pretty well. There's a place called the Old Rock House, which is downtown. And I think it's the same owners, which is good because the Old Rock House is a really cool venue. And it's a little bit closer to where I am right now in downtown. It's on Washington. So folks from St. Louis will know that. But it's always kind of cool to explore a new venue, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We're looking forward to getting there.
So tell me how this all started. The backstory of Killer Queen is quite fascinating, and we go back like 30-something years here, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, we ended up being sort of accidentally one of the first tribute bands on the planet. There's always been cover bands, but I guess the thing with a tribute band is you're putting on a big show, you know, with lots of lights and effects and different costumes, and you're trying to look and sound like the band so that, you know, it's more than just covering the songs. And we ended up being one of the first bands ever on the planet to do that. Just because we were there wasn't really a tribute scene when I first left home for London. I went to college and we just asked what music we liked. And Queen was a common denominator between everybody. And then a few weeks later, we got the news that Freddie had died. And we started, the reaction to that was us being in grief, but also singing the songs all the time. We just sang the songs all the time. And we started teaching each other the songs. And then we thought, because I was studying acting and stuff, there was one band that was dressing up as ABBA and pretending to be ABBA called Bjorn Again.
Yeah.
Who were brilliant. And I thought, okay, well, maybe we can just put on a concert for kids our age because we'd all just missed out on seeing Queen live. And you know, do it like Bjorn Again did it, but do it like, you know, in our way.
Right.
For Queen. So by the time we got that going, suddenly there was this massive tribute team that was just about to start and we were all fired up and ready to go. So we got this gig and it just took off. And we started getting offers from the West End, which is like Broadway,
right,
playing all the top clubs in London, like the Marquee and things like that, traveling all over the world and winning awards. And then ended up a few years down the road playing the same venues, the same arenas that Queen had filled with Freddie in their heyday. Which was just extraordinary. So we couldn't believe it. So from some college kids singing songs to each other in the laundry room of a halls of residence to playing the same arenas as Queen was just extraordinary. We just couldn't believe it.
Yeah, that's crazy. So when you were at university, as you say, across the pond, what were you studying then to become an actor? Is that what I heard you say?
I was doing a drama degree and at London University. And I ended up, I did a little bit of, most of my adult life has been treading new boards, doing theatre, doing Killer Queen in theatres and things. So, I loved acting and it was why I went to London, but I'd always had rock and roll roots and I could never work out the best way of doing that because I wasn't a huge fan of musicals. I liked the odd one here and there. So musical theatre wasn't really my way forward. But I wanted to do rock and roll and I wanted to act at the same time. And this sort of,
yeah, you can do both.
Both boxes in a funny kind of way.
I think it does absolutely because those are big shoes to fill, you know, doing something as a tribute to Freddie Mercury, one of the most, I think flamboyant and entertaining people that's ever been on a rock stage, right?
Yeah, he's very theatrical. He's full of drama and, you know, his sense of space and movement was fantastic. So, it's been a pleasure to do all these years. And we're looking forward to coming back to St. Louis and doing it all again for you and with our show that we've been touring around the whole world for all this time.
Well, it's Monday night at this new venue called The Sovereign. Killer Queen will be here. We have Patrick Myers on the horn with us tonight on 97.1 FM Talk. I watched some of the videos, and it seems like the person who is playing the character of Brian May is Brian May because he looks just like him, Patrick.
Yeah, well, we all try and sort of like look as closely like them as possible, myself included. So, that's the whole thing. We want to look and sound like them. We want to have the same atmosphere as Queen so that, if you never saw Queen back in the heyday with Freddie, this would be the perfect ticket for you.
Yeah, you know, it's one of my big disappointments that I never did. And I saw a lot of, I came of age, you know, late 70s, early 80s with music, and Queen was always one of my favorites. I just never had the opportunity to see them, and it was one of my big regrets for sure.
Yeah. Well, me too. I mean, I was only 15, 14, I think, when they did their last tour, just about to turn 15. And I was too young. I didn't even know how you get to London, you know, and do see a concert and get home again and all that stuff. And financially, it was just beyond me. And we didn't go to concerts like that as a family, you know. So I thought, okay, well, they'll tour again, and then they'll probably be maybe 2 years, 1 year, 2 years, something. I'll just be that bit older, and I'll know to have saved up in time so I can get, so I can do this. And of course, they never toured again, you know. So they hardly toured America. They didn't tour America at all after the early 80s. So there was even less chance in America to see them. So yeah, I know that's why we put on the concert for ourselves, you know, because we'd never seen Queen, and at the time we thought Queen were never going to tour again. Of course, they do tour again now with Adam Lambert, and it's amazing. But you know, the Queen with Freddie was something that was an eternal regret. But there's nothing you can do about it. But if you want to go out and have a great time with a band that looks and sounds like them on stage, and you know, then Killer Queen's the one for you, because that's why we're here.
Patrick, what are your biggest challenges on songs with trying to sound like Freddie? Are there songs in particular that stand out as being a little bit more difficult than others?
I mean, generally, you have to sort of get your voice in a certain place to try and sing like Freddie. And then you apply that to each song, you know. So really, you know, you've got to, you know, do a lot of vocal building exercises and strength building exercises on your voice. Look after your voice. You know, songs like Bohemian Rhapsody, you know, that's a challenge. Show Must Go On is a challenge.
It would be.
They've all got a challenging element to them as songs, you know, but they're also such fun to play, you know, because they're so well written. There's so much musicality in them. There's so many different dynamics and twists and turns. They're not straightforward as songs. They're very original songs, and they stand the test of time. That's why people love them all these years later. And we get whole generations, people bringing their whole families to the concert and having a great time as a family. You know, so it's, you know, the kids, the parents and their grandparents, you know, turn up. And that's a brilliant to see. That's quite
that's
amazing,
fun.
Really. And so that's what we like, you know.
I think I was 11 or 12 years old when We Will Rock You came out. And I have a 10-year-old daughter. I have some older children as well. And I can't really account for their musical taste, but I have some hope. Patrick, with my daughter. And, you know, it's interesting. She's learned a lot of music from movies like Pitch Perfect and, you know, movies that feature music. But she, you know, she's kind of, I've caught her singing along a little bit to We Will Rock You. And it's just funny because, again, I was like at that same exact age when I started listening to Queen a little bit more seriously. So it's fun. And I get what you're saying about the generations. These are songs that are so, you know, generationally friendly, if you will.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. They really, they break down the sort of the barriers of any time or specific, you know, sort of era. And they just, you know, when people discover Queen in, you know, often kids are sort of between, I don't know, 10 and 13, 14 when they discover Queen. And it's perfect because there's so much music to sort of discover. There's so many great albums, so many extraordinary hits and so many amazing deep cuts. But it's just, and they're so, you know, particularly with things like the movie, Bohemian Rhapsody, you can look at the legend of Queen as well as the music, you know, and that really helps.
I'm like the outlier on that movie. I didn't like it at all. And, you know, and I love Queen. I just, there was something about the tone of it. Plus, they got some of the, you know, I know that they take dramatic license, but to me, they put some things out of order. And but again, I'm the outlier. 95% of people love the movie. I was the only one who didn't.
There's one particular thing about, there's one particular thing with the Now I'm Here and Fat Bottom Girls. They did them the wrong way around.
Yes.
They didn't seem any dramatic reason to do that. Because Now I'm Here was all about touring America for the first time, and that was shot in. But instead of that, they put Fat Bottom Girls, which was, you know, I think they did it because it was supposed to contrast Freddie discovering, you know, different things about himself while he was on the road. But I think that you could have done that anyway. You know, you didn't need to underline it with a song. Dramatically, I think I agree. There are a few things in the film that. That just puzzles me, and I still don't understand this day. You know, even using the thing of dramatic license, I still don't understand why they did it that way. But I think making a movie is a phenomenally hard thing to do,
it is.
And you're doing it as a committee.
And again, most people
I'm not sure.
the more casual fans all loved it. Every time I bring it up to someone, they're like, I love that movie. I'm like, okay, but I'm
and
a little...
Also, you know, and Rami won an Oscar, so it's all great. Yeah. And it brought a lot of young fans to the shows. So I'm always going to be grateful to it for that. But yeah, it was in some respects, I still, you know, but you, I think it was a difficult film to make in lots of ways in terms of the directorial process and all those sorts of stuff. So I'm glad it got out there in the end because, and it was so successful, you know, because, you know, you want your band to be successful. You know, you want Queen, as I'm talking about, rather
than
my own band. You want the band from your youth to do well, you know. So I'm glad they did, you know.
Killer Queen is the name of your band. You're coming to St. Louis Monday night at this club called The Sovereign. We are going to welcome you here to St. Louis with some beautiful fall weather, Patrick, by the way. It's finally turned. It's going to be gorgeous next week. So enjoy your stay in St. Louis. Good luck with the show on Monday night. And thanks so much for joining me here on 97.1 FM Talk. I really appreciate it.
Hey, it's been a pleasure.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know why I make the mistake of occasionally scrolling through Facebook, especially during commercial breaks, but I did make the mistake of doing that here a few minutes ago. And then there's, you know, I have a fair amount of people who maybe friended me years ago on Facebook that may or may not listen anymore. But I've always, this will inspire some of you to try to friend me on Facebook, which is fine. I just don't always press yes because I don't look at it that much. But anyway, someone up there, I'm not going to mention a name. Thanks, Trump, for ruining my retirement. That was the post. Now, I so wanted to type something in, but I didn't, so I'll just say it here on the radio. The guy, most people, because I looked, and I think this person probably has only like 20 friends on Facebook anyway, but people were confused. What are you talking about? And the guy says, look at the stock market. Okay, so let's look at the stock market, because the Dow didn't have the best day today. It closed at 45,479. That's still, we're in record territory. It dropped 800 points. We've seen this before. We hit 46,000. We've been above 46,000. I mean, yesterday it closed at 46,358. I have this, I love this thing too. And I know that there's other apps, so there's not only one app. But 3 years ago, I downloaded an app called Acorns. And again, you could probably, maybe even your bank has something that is similar to this. But what I used to do, I think a lot of people used to do this, when I had change, if I had dollar bills, if I had, maybe if I had an extra 5 or a 10, sometimes even a 20, or if I just thought I'm going to try to save money, we had, you know, your milk jug or something like that. And at the end of the day, I'd put all my change in there and then we would put dollar bills. And again, every once in a while, I put like, maybe I had an extra 50 from a, usually that was from a gambling win, you know, put that in there. And then you crack the thing open. Becky and I would do this on an annual basis. And, you know, if you do it from a spring to a spring, for example, you'd have enough money in there to pay for a few flights on a vacation or, you know, it adds up quicker than you think. So Acorns is a rounding app. And what it does is, at least this is the way I understand it, I make a weekly contribution. It's not much. I put like $20 every Tuesday or $25 every Tuesday. But the rest of it comes from roundups. So in other words, if I have a situation where I buy something for $20.25, 75 cents goes into the Acorns account, and then it's invested. And you can, I haven't dialed down into what the particular investments are. I kind of let them make the investments. You can get, you know, into the weeds and choose your stocks and bonds, et cetera. But I've been doing this for 3 years at this point. Now, I'm not going to lie. The account has been down. It's been up. But if I go to my all-time gains or loss, I'm up 18.6%. And I just started this 3 years ago. So, you know, and I've got a fair amount of money in here. I've got $9,000 in this account. It's a way that I'm teaching my daughter a little bit to make better decisions with money as opposed to what I did when I was younger. But it's kind of interesting. And if you look at it every day, I try not to look at the 401k. I can do that as well. And yeah, if you have a 401k, you're probably down just a little bit today, but then you're getting bargains. Your cost dollar averaging is going to still be very consistent for you. And if you're getting 8 or 9% in the stock market, I think overall after today, it's up 7%. Okay. Tomorrow or Monday could be up 10%, 11% because these things fluctuate. But we're still in the very, you know, typical average gain for, you know, Wall Street, which is around 8%. We've been doing better than that here recently. So I just wanted to point that out from the listener. One of the stories that I came across earlier today, and this was covered on Fox, and there's some audio and video out there that's really horrific. But okay, Fred, where is that? Is that right up at the top? Thank you very much. There was this amazingly huge explosion, horrific explosion at the Accurate Energetic Systems plant near McEwen, Tennessee. This is in Bucksnort, Tennessee. There's a name for you. This happened just before 8 o'clock this morning. It's about 50 miles west of Nashville. There's a post from someone that was writing about this story from a Ring camera that was 20 miles away, and you would have thought the explosion was in their backyard. That's how loud it was. So the plant makes commercial and defense, quote, energetic products. I'm not exactly sure what that is, but here's what they say. Established in 1980, Accurate Energetic Systems LLC proudly holds certification as an SBA women-owned small business and stands at the forefront of the energetics industry. We're dedicated to the development, manufacture, handling, and storage of high-quality energetic products utilized in both defense and commercial markets. So they're basically an explosives company. But something went really, really wrong, and there was an explosion that leveled the place. And this is the sheriff from down there. I mean, they're still talking. At first, they said 12 people are missing. When you see the video, or if you haven't seen the video, Fred, it looks like something that is from Ukraine.
It's destroyed.
Right?
Yeah.
And the cars that were in the parking lot are all just a shell because they were burned up as well. Now, I don't know that we know much about what caused this at this point, right? Here's the sheriff down there.
About 7:45 this morning, we had a very devastating blast at Accurate Arms. Encompassed a whole building that was on the facilities. We do have several people at this time that's unaccounted for. We got a very big investigation. This is not going to be something that we're going to be like a car wreck or something like that we're just going to clean up the debris and leave. We're going to probably be here for a couple few days. We do have some that are deceased, but we're going to go back, notify these families, and let these families know what's going on. It's the most devastating scene that I've seen in my career. Can I describe the building? There's nothing to describe. Yeah. It's gone. I can tell you right now that we're looking for 19 individuals.
It literally looks like one of those bunker busting bombs just exploded right over this plant. There are images out there from Google Earth which will show you what it looked like beforehand and then after. And I mean, when we say it's gone, it is just gone. There was a parking lot too where it seems like every car in the lot was burned up or destroyed. So the first responders had trouble when they started showing up because there were munitions, there were bombs, explosives that were still cooking from the flames, and there was a lot of heat. So this was a very difficult fire to get under control, and unfortunately, that stalled the search for any survivors. I would doubt that there are any survivors. I mean, this is one of those situations, unfortunately, where you're not going to find an entire body. It doesn't look like it. So they gave an update this afternoon and said that 19 are missing. Multiple others have been hospitalized. Three patients with minor injuries from the explosion were treated at the facility in downtown Dixon, I guess. Two have been released after walk-in treatment, but still, they have 19 people that are missing. Most of those people at this point, again, I'd be shocked if they're going to find survivors, but it is a really, really bad situation. It's kind of in the middle of nowhere. I've seen some of the overhead shots. It's just, you don't see anything except for trees and a road that leads to this scene in Bucksnort, Tennessee. But that plant is completely gone.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. PNCs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Man, I gotta tell you something. This is a good song, and I'm picky when it comes to music. I think the song has been out there for a couple of years, but this is the theme. This is what plays over the end credits of the movie Soul on Fire.
Till I am a soul on fire.
I love this song. It plays very, very well at the end of the movie, and I was really hoping we were going to get John O'Leary, and I'm sure that John feels terrible because he is on an airplane, and I was communicating with him last night. I took my daughter to see the 7:30 screening of Soul on Fire. I had invites like crazy over the summer to see the movie, and I had some health issues, as many of you know, and I just could never get out to the theater. So Alexa knew the story. I had explained who John was and that John was a friend, and she knew a little bit about the story. I remember being out at our fire pit. Like, this was probably 3 years ago, and I was, unfortunately, I like fire quite a bit, I like my fire pit. I've done some irresponsible things in my life, but I told my daughter, I said, you know, you have to really be careful, and I told her John's story, and I remember texting John that night, you know, telling him that that made an impact. So she was extremely excited, and she loved the movie. We had a great time last night. Unfortunately, John is on an airplane. However, we got a guy that is a scene stealer in this film, Spencer Davis Milford, who plays Mike Bright. That's John's best friend and college roommate. And every scene that he's in, he makes an impression. Spencer, how are you? Welcome to 97.1 FM Talk in St. Louis.
Hey, thanks for having me. Yeah, it's my pleasure. Thanks for calling me a scene stealer. That's a high honor.
Well, and I found out that you were going to kind of pinch hit for John, and I knew exactly, you know, who you were, because you were a scene stealer. Every time you kind of play a role here, you have to ground the young John O'Leary a little bit in your scenes, right? Just kind of bring him back to reality. You play a very important role in the story.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, well, we got to ground the real John O'Leary. He's off jet-setting all over the country, you know?
I mean,
he's a celebrity now, so he's got to get the word out about this movie. He's doing an excellent job, and I hope people all over America are inspired. I know people in St. Louis are going to love this film, so I'm sure the rest of the country will too.
It's such a great story, and I've been familiar with it, and I've shared John's stories, you know, over the last decade and a half. But Spencer, let's talk about you a little bit and how you got involved in this. You're a St. Louis guy, right?
Yeah, that's right. I grew up in Webster Groves, actually on Hollywood Place. Right behind Mary Queen of Peace. So I think maybe I was destined to be in movies.
So you're a young guy. When did you become familiar with John's story in this project? And how did all that happen? Because it is kind of unique for a St. Louis actor to actually film a movie in St. Louis, because we don't really get that very often. But we did have some tax credits that came in. And luckily, you were able to film the movie here, which had to be cool for you. But how did you get involved in the project?
Yeah, it was a huge, huge deal for St. Louis to get this movie. So I do a lot of theater acting. I grew up performing at the Muni, at the Rep, stages, theaters all over town. And I was actually doing a musical in Chicago when I got this audition. And it was for the best friend of John O'Leary. And I was like, oh my gosh, I know that name. And the more I talked to friends in St. Louis, they're like, oh, he spoke at this thing. That guy's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, people were super moved by his story. And once I got the audition, I knew that I really wanted to be a part of it. And thankfully, it all worked out. And we got to shoot it in St. Louis a couple of years ago. And we've all been anxiously waiting for it to be out in theaters. And it's finally here.
Obviously, John plays an important role because it's his story. But, I mean, he's an executive producer of the film as well. He was on set. I know that he was interacting with the actors. So what did you learn from the real John O'Leary?
Oh, man. I kind of learned that anything is possible if you actually set your mind to it. And sometimes you can't take no for an answer. This guy was told that he had less than 1% of a chance to live when he was 9 years old. And he made the decision right then and there that he wanted to live. And 5 months later in the hospital, he survived. And, you know, they told him, oh, you probably, you know, you can't be in construction. You can barely hold a hammer. And the guy had a successful construction company and now, you know, two best-selling novels and a major motion picture. And the guy keeps proving people wrong left and right. And he's one of those people that, you know, if he said, you know, run through this brick wall, he's the type of guy that could convince you to do it. And I do it for him right now.
Spencer Davis Milford is, he plays Mike Bright, John O'Leary's best friend and college roommate and business partner in the film. Have you ever, because I was trying to think of this, Spencer, have you ever seen the real John O'Leary not give you a big, wide smile? I don't think I have. He's always smiling, isn't he?
He's got the best smile in St. Louis, and now he's got the best smile in Hollywood. It's infectious.
How was it working with Bill Macy? Let me ask. And I feel comfortable in calling him Bill. Not that you were in, I don't know if you were in any scenes with him, so I'm not sure how much you did work with him, but there's a legend, right?
Oh, he's absolutely a legend. I finagled my way on the set when Bill was shooting his scenes. I had already shot most of mine, but I just wanted to be around him and watch the guy work. And he was so gracious. He was telling me old stories about growing up in the Chicago theater scene and he grew up with David Mamet doing Chicago plays. And
how awesome
he would bring his ukulele. Oh, it's so cool. He would bring his ukulele to set and he's like strumming tunes. And the next thing you know, he's, oh, sorry, got to go. And then he's on screen making everybody cry and making everybody laugh. He's a true legend, and he's just as good of a man as he is an actor.
See, I love to hear that. That's great. I've had, you know, I used to do a little bit of work with actors from a film critic perspective. So I would go to Hollywood and I would sit down and, you know, do interviews. And most of my experiences have been good. You know, every once in a while you have people have bad days where they're not into it. But you love to hear that about a guy like William H. Macy, because he really is one of the best character actors in the business. So obviously he plays, and let's explain this to people, he plays Jack Buck, and you're probably not even old enough to remember Jack Buck, are you, Spencer?
I'm not old enough to remember Jack Buck, but my dad definitely showed me his call for Ozzie's home run. I mean, go crazy, folks, go crazy. When we were playing whiffle ball in the backyard, that was definitely something that we would say when we hit a dinger, so... I definitely knew who Jack Buck was growing up. And then obviously Joe Buck, I'm a huge Cardinals fan, obviously, and a Blues fan, but Joe's call for those World Series games was next level. It's hard to live up when your dad is a Hall of Famer, but I think Joe's killing it too.
Yeah. On the topic of Cardinals, did you get a chance to meet Ozzie Smith? He's got a nice little cameo in this movie.
Heck yeah. I met Ozzie on the field at Busch Stadium, and I was like, somebody's got to pinch me, man. I was like, I was shaking a little bit. He's obviously he's such a legend, but and then I met him again on the red carpet. I don't think he remembered me from the Busch Stadium pick, but I said the same thing. I just said, sir, you're a legend. Thank you for everything you've done for St. Louis, and I'm so glad you're in this movie with us.
That is awesome. Yeah, you guys did the red carpet earlier this week, right? Here, did you do one in LA as well, or they basically did it here in St. Louis?
If they did one in LA, they didn't tell me, but, we did one in St. Louis and it was gorgeous. The new Powell Hall. It was a perfect night. You know, we'd all been waiting 2 years to see this movie come out, and just the combination of, you know, the Hollywood stars coming in and people from St. Louis and John and his family. And it was incredible. Yeah. It was an incredible night.
Well, you get, and I was talking about this, Spencer, a little bit earlier on the show, and I can't think, and maybe there is a movie, but I can't think of another movie that has featured this many scenes. And look, there's been movies that have been set in St. Louis before, but this many scenes of the Arch, of downtown, of the Missouri Athletic Club. There's like 9 different locations that you shot. John's original family home, you know, you'll recognize there. It always kind of sucks when you see a film, and I get it because there's budgets and everything, but they're filmed in, maybe you're familiar with the location, and then they go to Toronto or Vancouver. You know, Georgia, a lot of things. And I get it. That's business. But thankfully, we had some tax credits. And, you know, John has told me that it was important for the director once he started seeing what St. Louis was all about. And John started describing the story. He's like, oh, yeah, we got to film it here. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Sean McNamara, the director, he fell in love with St. Louis like many people do when they come and visit for the first time. And there was a world where this movie was going to get shot in Vancouver. And Sean McNamara said, absolutely not. We got to shoot it in St. Louis. And the whole film is such a love letter to St. Louis and to just the heart and soul of people in our town. And there's a lot of Easter eggs in the movie, too. A lot of the real life people that saved John's life and also made an impact on him are in the film. And it's kind of fun to watch when you know all the Easter eggs.
Give me a hint on those.
Every single scene.
I miss that. What I've told people is, even in the commercial that they're playing, I've seen a lot of marketing, John himself has a cameo as handing Joe Courtney, who plays John, his diploma at SLU. So Mr. O'Leary has a cameo. What are the other ones? Can you give me a couple of hints and people to look for?
Oh, there's a bunch. So there's a scene where Joel Courtney and Macy McClain, who plays Beth O'Leary, Joel's character, John, goes to see her while she's in class. And the teacher, the woman who's teaching her how to do like some physical therapy, is Beth O'Leary.
I didn't know that. And that I know the scene. So that's interesting. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
John, can we agree? You know, you're younger, but do you know the phrase "outkick your coverage"? Do you know that phrase?
Yeah.
Okay, I think John O'Leary outkicked his coverage. As cool a guy as he is, I mean, his wife is beautiful.
Oh, for sure. Beth is top notch, and you're right. John's such a lucky guy, and Beth is definitely someone who keeps him grounded. And you know, with all this newfound fame, she's going to have her work cut out for her for sure.
All right. Well, what else you got cooking in the acting world? Where do you live? Are you in Chicago? Did you say? Is that where you live right now?
I was in Chicago. I'm actually up in New York. Okay. You know what? I'm to be honest with you, I'm hoping this movie gives me some momentum as an actor. So I'm up here auditioning, looking for the next gig. So if you know any movie producers, give them my number, because I'm looking for it. And hopefully they go and see Soul on Fire and they like my work, because I'm pretty proud of it. And I'm pretty proud of our movie, too.
You should be. And Spencer, I say this sincerely, not just to, you know, kiss your butt here, because, you know, when Fred told me, and I really was looking forward, I was communicating with John last night and, you know, sending him some pictures of my daughter. And I know that he's probably disappointed that he couldn't join me because we're friends. But when Fred mentioned your name, I didn't know your name, but I'm like, oh, yeah, that kid was great, because in every scene that you're in, you kind of play a pretty important role. I thought you were fantastic. So something tells me someone's going to see this and you're going to get some more gigs and I can say we knew you when. But it's awesome that you're a Webster Groves, you know, kid, and that I was a little worried about you being in Chicago. That's why I asked, because we didn't want any Cubs influence there, Spencer. You know, there's a vaccine for that, I think.
Yeah, absolutely not. I'm a diehard St. Louisan. People who know me know that I rock a St. Louis shirt like every other day, if not every day. So I love my town, and the only reason I go elsewhere is to find more work and to rep St. Louis even harder. So,
I get it. Hey, you're going to have a great career. I can feel it.
Thank you for the kind praise.
Spencer Davis Milford,
so
go see Soul on Fire. We'll talk again. I'm confident of it. Take care, Spencer. We appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
I'm telling you, this song is really, really good. We're coming back. We got audio cut of the day. Pastor got a look and said, y'all better hurry. Send her off to a little Bible college in Missouri. A little Missouri reference, too. That's a guy named Josh Ritter. I think I saw that he is coming to St. Louis when I was looking at some stuff for Killer Queen. He might even be coming to the old Rock House. Getting ready to get down. The song's called Ready to Get Down. Getting ready to get down. Now, all right, that's my selection heading into the weekend as we get ready for Mizzou in Alabama, Illinois, and Ohio State. It's a hell of a football weekend. Some games on tonight as well. Let's do this. I have an extended cut of the day, if I can get it to play, which I can. I'm thrown off sometimes when Sue's not here because the buttons are a little different. Here we go.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
I love Winsome Earle Sears. She's the lieutenant governor of the state of Virginia. She's running for governor, and she's way behind in the polls. This is very disappointing. Abigail Spanberger, former congresswoman, is in the lead. Now, they had a debate last night, but this has been the focus of national, you know, discussion in politics. We've talked about this week because Jay Jones, who in 2022, he's running for attorney general, Democrat. But in 2022, he had just resigned from the state house, and he sent these messages, very violent text messages, to a former state house colleague, Republican House Delegate Kerry Coyner. And he detailed his hatred for the House Speaker at the time, Todd Gilbert. When talking about his colleague, Jones, in the text exchange, this has been released, says he's going to their funerals to piss on their graves. He also said if he had two bullets and was faced with murdering either Gilbert or Hitler or Pol Pot, he would use both bullets on Gilbert. And then there were other things that happened where he's accused of saying even more, I think, egregious things on a phone call. So the text messages get out there, and no Democrats want to distance themselves from this guy, Jay Jones, which is incredible. So this comes up And I give a lot of credit to the moderator of this debate last night in Virginia.
Were you aware of these messages before they were released publicly? And will you continue to endorse Jay Jones as the next Attorney General of Virginia? You have 60 seconds.
The comments that Jay Jones made are absolutely abhorrent. I denounced them when I learned of them, and I will denounce them every opportunity I get. As a mother, as a public servant, as a candidate for governor, I denounce them.
I love politicians because there must be a school for this. Some of you who are my friends who are in politics, you must. Because like when these college kids, they go play, you know, football, they get out of high school, and they do this in the pros too. They very, you know, specifically coach them on what to say with the media, how to do it. That's why you get such bland answers from athletes and coaches, because they don't really want to give you anything. But in this particular case, politicians are so good at not answering a simple, this is a yes or no question. It is a yes or no question.
Just, I didn't hear an answer there on the endorsement issue, so I want to just make sure. Will you continue to endorse Jay Jones to be the next Attorney General of Virginia? And were you aware of these text messages before they released?
So the public was unaware who had knowledge of these text messages for many hours. So voters now have the information, and it is up to voters to make an individual choice based on this information.
Do you still continue to endorse Jay Jones? 15 seconds, yes or no?
We are all running our individual races.
You can't
just
do it.
Want to clarify, you know, what you're saying is that as of now, you still endorse Jay Jones as Attorney General.
I'm saying as of now, it's up to every voter to make their own individual decision.
Oh, my God. Why can't you just answer the question? It is unreal. Even Tim Kaine yesterday. Well, I've known him for 25 years. He's a good man. I don't care. I'm going to endorse him. Right. And then Spanberger starts blaming the Republicans because they leaked the disgusting text.
Will you continue to endorse Jay Jones to be the next Attorney General of Virginia? And were you aware of these text messages?
In fact, it appears that it was those who released the text messages and held them for years. So the public was unaware who had knowledge of these text messages.
That is called opposition research. And what happens is that people from the other side, they dig and they dig, and then they find something and they're like, when should we use this? Oh, I don't know. How about 4 weeks before the election when this is happening? And that's what happened here. It's part of politics. It's a blood sport. But Spanberger, you know, basically is put in a position where she can easily say, no, I don't. This is outrageous. I cannot support the person who is the chief law enforcement officer for the state of Virginia. By the way, a guy who was caught going 116 in a 70 and tried to get out of the ticket. He's got other issues in his past as well. So during this debate, Winsome Sears tries to get some questions in. Abigail Spanberger doesn't want to answer them.
Would it take him pulling the trigger? Is that what would do it? And then you would say he needs to get out of the race? Abigail, you have nothing to say? Abigail, what if he said it about your two children, your three children? Is that when you would say he should get out of the race, Abigail? You're running to be governor.
I mean, that is stunning to me. And if I don't see some tightening in polling in Virginia, I'm going to be shocked. Then there's this, the trans question.
I'm a mother of three daughters in Virginia public schools, and nothing is more important to me than their safety.
Once again, the question was, should transgender girls who are biological males be allowed to use girls' bathrooms and play on girls' sports teams?
I think it's incumbent upon parents,
oh my God,
and educators and administrators in each local community to
nude
make decisions locally. There should never be
nude men in locker rooms.
Oh my goodness, we finally have her saying that.
Oh, it took a while, didn't it? Unbelievable. One of the worst candidates for governor, and unfortunately, she's probably going to win. We'll go out with Josh Ritter. Have a great weekend. M-I-Z. We'll talk to you Monday afternoon.
I get ready to get down. Get ready to get down. Get ready to get down.
Catch anything you missed today by getting the show podcast at 971talk.com. Get more at 971talk.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.